Greetings in the name of the Lord. For some weeks we have been studying from the book of Romans, and we have studied a number of parts from this book. Now remember, of course, that this is God's Word we've been speaking from. Every part of the Bible is God's Word. And so this teaching is very important for us because it is God's own Word to us. We're to follow it, we're to understand it, we're to believe it with all our hearts. And in every way, this word is to become part of our lives, first in salvation, and then in living the Christian life itself. So by his word, we understand his plan of salvation, that it's through the Lord Jesus Christ alone, not through any other person or any other thing that we might do. And then in living the Christian life, we also find that God gives us the directions for how we should live, how we can succeed in living this life. Today, I want to very briefly cover a section of the book of Romans. We will not have time to go into it deeply, but I want to answer a number of questions from chapters 9, 10, and 11 of the book of Romans. It's a section by itself. Perhaps sometime you might hear more teaching on this section of Scripture. But we are going to have to pass through this a little bit quickly. Now, this section has to do with God's love for and his plans for his own people. We know, of course, that God loves the Jewish people very, very deeply. They have always been his people. They were chosen in the Old Testament from the time of Abraham on. They were chosen to be the people of God. In other words, the descendants of Abraham became the great Jewish nation. And these down through today and in the future are God's people. He loves them very, very dearly. Now, he's dealt with the subject of the Jews before in this book of Romans. He has dealt with the subject of the Jews in the section, for instance, dealing with the universal sinfulness and lost condition of all mankind. I don't want to emphasize this negative feature, but he shows in chapter 2 of the book of Romans, beginning with verse 17, clear down to Romans chapter 3, verse 8, he shows very clearly that the Jews as well as the Gentiles need the Messiah. They need the Savior. In the case of the Jewish people, it was the promised Messiah, the promised deliverer, the one who would first of all die for their sins, according to Isaiah chapter 53, and then the one who would someday be the reigning king. And so the Messiah was very, very clearly presented. But first, they had to accept the fact that they needed a Savior. And then you see again in this third chapter, verses 8 to 18, how the Jews and the Gentiles alike are all considered to be under sin. First, he deals with the sinfulness of the Jewish people, and then he talks about how Jews and Gentiles are alike in being under sin and needing the Savior. Now he comes back again in the latter half of chapter 3 of Romans, and in chapter 4 and in chapter 7, verses 1 to 6. And there he teaches that we, Gentiles and Jews alike, now are to be under the grace of God and are not under the law of Moses anymore. He taught very clearly in the early chapters of the book of Romans that the Jews needed the law in the Old Testament because the law was their means of being pointed towards the coming Messiah. In other words, the law showed them their sinfulness. It did not make them righteous. They still had to offer sacrifices. It showed them their sinfulness before God. And so they offered the sacrifices as sacrifices for sin, looking to the time when the coming Messiah would be offered as the one great sacrifice for sin. John the Baptist said in John chapter 1, verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Behold the Lamb of God. In other words, now no more Old Testament sacrifices. He would be God's offering for sin, God's final offering for sin. The Messiah had come. Now, as we come to this passage, this section that I want to deal with very, very briefly, chapters 9, 10, 11, He's come back to the subject of the Jewish people, and he deals with them more specifically as God's chosen people. And in these three chapters, he's going to be answering the following questions. And let me just briefly go through these questions with you. I hope that you will study these more deeply. If you are someone who is Jewish in background, I speak very respectfully of you and to you. But you need to study these passages, and you need to understand them from the Word of God, that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Messiah that was promised throughout the Old Testament, beginning even back in the time of Adam himself. The Messiah was first promised, someone who would bruise Satan and who would bring victory over sin, because he would be the Messiah. Now, these questions are this. In this age, when the gospel is being carried to the whole world and the Gentiles have been reached in great numbers, has God now rejected his people, the Jewish people? And I want to say very clearly and very definitely, God has never rejected his people. Even in the Old Testament, when they turned against him, and I'm not speaking in a slanderous way about the Jewish people, but we know from Jewish history that they did turn against him. After the time of Joshua, we find the time of Judges, when they turned to idol worship and other things. And then as we come down through the history, after the time of the kings, when finally the northern kingdom of Israel was carried away, and then later in 586 BC, the southern kingdom of Judah was carried away by the Babylonians, it was because of the sins of the people. And I say this respectfully. But it was because of their sins they were carried away. But God still had not rejected them. He still loved them. They needed his discipline. They needed his punishment. But he still deeply, deeply loved them. And of course, we know under Ezra and Nehemiah, still referring to the Old Testament, many of them were permitted to return and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. So throughout history, God has always loved his people. Now, God today still wants to maintain a close relationship with his people. But that relationship is now based upon their accepting and following their Messiah. In other words, the one whom we Gentiles believe in came, first of all, as the Jewish Messiah, this Savior that was promised throughout the Old Testament. And now Jesus in every way fulfilled all of the requirements to be that Messiah. And he came as their Messiah and was presented by God by many miracles, by many wonderful works, by his death, burial, and resurrection from the dead. He was presented as their Messiah. So their relationship with God depends upon their accepting and following this Messiah that was promised to them, the same one we Gentiles have had to come to. So when God was first preaching to the Jewish people, there were many who turned against it in the New Testament, but there were also thousands and thousands of devout Jews, like Paul, who was a Pharisee, a strict follower of the law, and many others who believed its truth and devoutly followed their Messiah. It was not just a few, but there were thousands and thousands, perhaps even one or two tens of thousands of Jewish people in that day who did believe in their Messiah and who followed him. Now the second question is this. If the promise of the Messiah as a suffering Savior and as a reigning King was first given to the Jews, and Christ himself, the promised Messiah, was born as part of the Jewish nation, why then has the great emphasis of gospel witness been upon the Gentiles rather than upon the Jews? Now we note in the book of Acts that even the Apostle Paul, who was called to be the Apostle to the Gentiles, even the Apostle Paul very often would go first to the Jewish people in their synagogues and then would turn to witness with the Gentiles. So God's burden to reach the entire world with his salvation required that special emphasis would be put upon those who had never heard the gospel, who had never had the opportunity to see the truth. In other words, the Gentiles were in the tens of millions of people. And it was important now that the gospel be preached in the whole world. And I realize that it seems like the emphasis of God was no longer upon the Jews. No, God has always emphasized his people, the Jewish people. Even today, he is still giving them the Word of God available to them if they will read it. He's giving them the Word of God, the Old Testament promises, and the New Testament fulfillment. The third question is, what is essential for the Jewish people to do to maintain God's favor and blessing on them? Now, many times, and I say this respectfully, Jewish people might feel, why isn't God's favor and blessing on us? If we are his chosen people, why then is his favor and blessing not on us as we need it? Since the coming of the Jewish Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, the Jewish people are to find their hope in him. There is no other Messiah in the future who will come. Jesus is that Messiah. Now I believe, and I say this respectfully again, there are many Jewish people who still believe there will be a future Messiah who will come. There is no such person promised in the Bible. Jesus perfectly fulfilled as a suffering Savior. He perfectly fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies. There are no prophecies he has not fulfilled. He will still be coming as the ruling king, but he is that Messiah. And he's still being offered in the goodness of God to the entire nation of Israel as their Messiah, for all to trust and find life and purpose in him. And many countless numbers of Jewish people today have found their Messiah in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then number four, how do we balance God's offering of salvation to the whole world with the special place that the Jewish people still have in God's purpose and plans? Now, I don't want to go into this deeply. This is a deep subject in itself. There are still countless promises being given to the Jewish people concerning the establishing again of the Jewish nation in a very proper way. The establishing again under God and under his rule and control. Under the Messiah, in other words. There are still many promises given to the Jewish nation concerning this. The prophetic books of the Old Testament and the New Testament give testimony to the fact that God will work in special ways on behalf of his people in the future. Even now, the establishment of a nation called Israel is a miracle of God. We do not believe yet that this nation fulfills all of God's purposes, or that all of the people have truly turned to God and to the Messiah whom God has sent into the world. But nevertheless, even the establishment of a nation called Israel is a great miracle from God. And this is why we with all our hearts support the nation of Israel today. And so God still has plans that are very distinct for the Jewish people in the future. Another question would be, how should Gentile people, and I want to emphasize that every one of us who are not Jewish are Gentiles. In other words, we in the Old Testament were like the outsiders. We were outside the plan of God, as it seemed. God still had a plan for the Gentiles, but that plan was only fulfilled in the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, when the whole world would be loved by God, and the whole world now would be reached for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the question is, how should the Gentiles feel about the Jewish people? I want to emphasize again, if you will read these three chapters, these three chapters warn the Gentiles in feeling that they are better than the Jewish people in any way. Even though the gospel has been emphasized, especially to them, nevertheless, this does not make the Gentile people better than the Jewish people. God still has this place, this special place for the Jewish people. In the great heart of God, there is still this special place for the Jewish people. Rather, the Gentiles are to have a humble spirit regarding their inclusion as part of God's plan of salvation. What a wonderful truth this is, that in the latter time, in the time after the death of the Lord Jesus, now the Gentiles have been fully brought into this relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22 teaches that now the Gentiles are one with the Jewish people who have trusted the Messiah. They are one with them. They're all part of one body in Christ, in other words. And they belong with them. And it's just of the grace of God that the Gentiles could be treated like this. One final question I want to answer, and then we must close. When and how will God again give special attention to the Jewish people? In this age, it is true, God is paying attention to the Gentiles. But in this age, God is also paying special attention to the Jews who will respond to the Messiah. This Messiah is the Lord Jesus Christ. They must respond to him. And there are many places in the world where there are messianic fellowships, in fact. Many countless numbers of Jews have trusted the Lord Jesus, and they form what they call messianic fellowships. In other words, they have received their Messiah. Even in Israel itself, there are many Jews who have trusted the Lord Jesus as their Messiah, and they themselves have formed messianic fellowships. I remember many years ago in 1976 when I visited Israel, I attended one of these messianic fellowships. In fact, I spoke to it. As a Gentile, they asked me to speak to it. And so everywhere there are people now who have trusted the Lord Jesus. And so God is even in this day giving attention to them. And then in the future he will continue to give attention to the Jewish people, to the Jewish nation. He has plans for them. I don't have time to go into those plans today. But if you were to study some of these other books, the teaching of the Lord Jesus himself, and also a teaching of the book of Revelations, you will find the plans that God still has for this nation, the Jewish nation. And so, as I have tried to speak very respectfully to the Jewish people, I would simply say, if Jesus is not the Messiah, then there is no Messiah. And you must come to the Lord Jesus. You must study about him. He was born in your nation. And he came as a Messiah, came down from heaven as God the Son to die on the cross for your sins. I would urge you to trust him and to come to him as your Messiah and to find salvation through him and then to live for him as you live on this earth. And all of us, we must continue to have respect for the Jewish people, God's people, and we must try to help them find their Messiah. May the Lord bless you. Each one.